We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Well, this morning I'm going to start by reading from Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, and we have been personalizing this verse to read it for ourselves. So why don't you say it after me? Say, "This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but I shall meditate in it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make my way prosperous, and then I will have good success." Praise God, and that's what we're all about. That's why we're here today, is to meditate in the Word of God, to receive from the Word, to receive from God and from His Spirit, who leads us and guides us into all truth, everything that He has in store for us today, so that we can be built up as the men and women that God has called us to be, to represent His glorious church, because He's coming back for a glorious church. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, this morning I was praying, because we finished our previous series on the miracles and healings of Jesus last month. And so this morning, as I was here praying, I had some thoughts about different messages and series that we could do for this month. And I was just walking around the room praying, and the Lord knows what we need. I don't always know what we need. You know, I mean, I have some ideas, but again, that's just relying on my own ideas and my thinking. But the Lord, He knows what everyone here has need of. And so I was praying, and I said, "Lord, You know all things. What do You want us to share on this month? What do You want to give to us this month?" And the Lord put on my heart something that I wasn't expecting Him to say, but to talk about the work and the moving of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, the gifts of the Spirit. And so this month, the whole month, is going to be on the working of the Holy Spirit. What He is, the role that He plays in our life, everything. We are a Spirit-filled church, but we're also a Word-filled church, and we're also a faith-filled church. Amen? Now, it's interesting, because those elements don't always go together. You should say those things and just assume, well, yep, that's a New Testament church. Did you know that in the first century there wasn't a Presbyterian church, a Baptist church, a Church of God, an Assemblies of God, a Lutheran church, a Catholic church? There wasn't all these different groups. There was just the church. And so back then you could just say, "I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus." And it should mean the same thing to everyone. But today, when you say, "I'm a Christian," that could mean any variety of things in our culture. And so when I say these things, that we are a Spirit-filled church, we are a Word-filled church, we are a faith-filled church, sometimes if you've traveled to and you've been to different churches, you find that there's churches that believe in one thing or the other, but not necessarily all of what God's Word has for us. And you know, that's why as a pastor, I'm here 52 weeks out of the year. I'm here all the time, for better or for worse, for you all. but no, I'm here all the time. And so we're taking different topics. You know, I mean, we talk about parenting from the Bible, because, you know, there's plenty of psychologists out there that'll tell you how to parent, but we need to know how to parent from the Word of God. We talk about money here because the world has their way of wisdom in dealing with money, but God has His way. So we spend time talking about money. We talk about relationships and marriages, and we talk about all these different things. And so as a pastor, you know, we have to talk about a variety of different topics, but the Lord always knows what we have need of. You know, if I was a traveling minister, I could have pretty much one thing that I hone in on and just go from church to church. I could take this message this morning and preach it in every single church, go across all 50 states, and no one would know that I preach the same message every Sunday. But as a pastor, we have to deal with a bunch of different things. So it's not that, you know, when we take a month and we talk about prosperity and finances that, oh, they're just one of those money churches. And then we take a month to talk about parenting, and they're like, well, they don't have the Holy Spirit there because they're taking Sunday morning to preach on parenting. And that's not very spiritual. And then we take a month to talk about healing and miracles, and oh, they're one of those miracle healing churches. No, we're just a New Testament church that just happens to believe all of it, right? And so, you know, maybe people come here for a Sunday morning and we're talking about parenting, or we're talking about faith, or we're talking about confessing the Word of God, or one of these different subjects, and people will say, well, where is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, you know, what you preach is what you get. And so every Sunday, we don't have time to preach from every different topic. Unless you guys want to stay here all day with me. Do we have any volunteers? You know, okay, all right. You know. But so, you know, we're a Spirit-filled church. That doesn't mean that every single Sunday that we come together or every service that we're going to preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But guess what? This month is a month on the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what the Lord's going to lead me to do. I don't know if we're going to lay hands on people. I might or I might not. I don't know. But I really just want the Lord to move how He wants to move. I want Him to have me share what He wants me to share. And so this month, I hope you come hungry. I hope you come ready. I hope you come expecting, as we should every month. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So again, we should just assume that because we're a New Testament church, that all of these things should go together, but you can go and find a church where you hear the Word all the time, but you don't ever, you know, have the Holy Spirit present. You might go to a church and they never give people an opportunity to receive Jesus, where they talk about even the Bible or scriptural things, but they don't give people an opportunity to repent. Or you might go to a church and they might talk a lot about healing, but everybody in the church is broke because they never talk about money. And so we like to just cover all our bases as the Lord leads us to, and make sure that we give the whole counsel of God's Word as best as we can, and so that everybody is edified in every area of life, so that we can succeed, so that we can prosper, so that we can meditate in the Word day and night and do according to all that is written in it. Amen? Amen? All right, so one thing about the work of the Holy Spirit is He doesn't always do the same things. Remember last month we talked about the healings and miracles of Jesus, and we found that primarily Jesus ministered healing through the command of faith. And though we didn't get time to go into the book of Acts and further into the New Testament, but if you study it out, you'll find that even in the book of Acts and from the apostles, that they also primarily ministered healing according to the command of the word of faith. But that's not how Jesus always did it. That's not how the apostles always did it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit had them do something totally different. For example, sometimes Jesus would cast a spirit out of somebody and they would get healed. Other times He would lay hands on people. One time He took His fingers and stuck His fingers in a man's ears, and then He spit and put it on the man's tongue. Well, it says He spit and He touched the man's tongue. I assume that He spit and then took the spit and put it on the man's tongue. I don't know why. That just sounds really weird to me. But you know what's great? The guy got healed. So who really cares? You know, if you were deaf or dumb and or blind or whatever, and I came and poked my finger in your ear or spit on your tongue or did this or that, and you got healed, ultimately you probably wouldn't really care that much. But you don't see Jesus doing the same thing every single time. And yet sometimes that's the way we are as believers, as we get locked into a certain way of doing things. And, you know, we look and we see one minister doing something this way, and we think that that's the way. That's the way that the Holy Spirit always has to move. But it's not. Sometimes the Holy Spirit does things totally different. And He uses people in different ways. And so, you know, If the Lord can move different ways concerning healing, he can move different ways concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He can move in different ways concerning the gifts of the Spirit and the ministries of the Holy Spirit. And yet, I think sometimes we can make a mistake by looking at the way that one ministry does it, the way one minister does it, and assume that that is the way. You know, well, my pastor does it like this, or so-and-so does it like that. We can't be small-minded with the Lord. You know, you would assume that as a Pentecostal Spirit-filled church that when we preach on healing that I'm going to call every single time we get together for those that are sick to be healed, to have hands laid upon them. We only did that one time last month. But what do? We preach the Word. And whatever the Lord wants us to do. And from just preaching the Word, people can get healed, people can get saved, people can get set free, people can get whatever they need, because the Lord confirms the preaching of His Word. You know, I've loved over the years of pastoring this church of hearing testimonies of people that have just taken action on the Word of God outside of the service. You know, because if you think about it, you're in church Sunday morning for an hour and a half or so. If you come Wednesday nights, for about another hour. So if that's the only time that you're allowing God to move in your life, well, that's not a lot of time, is it? Right? So it's not just meant to be that church is the only place where we come and allow God to move. That's why if we can build each other up in the Word of God, then we can depend on the Word all week long. You know, so when I'm sharing a word on healing, that it's not just, oh man, I gotta call pastor, I need hands laid on me, I need someone to come pray for me. No, I can go straight to Father God. I can go straight to the Word and lay hold of healing myself. Or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And over the years, we've had people here that have come to church and I've prayed for them, and you know, from my eyes, from my senses, it looked like nothing happened. Sometimes you lay hands on people and it looks like a lightning bolt just zapped them and they fall out and they bake, shake, and quake and cry and snot and tears and laugh and everything. And you're like, oh, they got it, right? We know they got it. And then there's other times where you lay hands on somebody and it looks like you laid hands on a tree stump. And you're like, well, they surely didn't get it. But then they go home and they tell you a week or 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later, I was at home in my living room, and I began to pray in tongues. I was driving down the road, driving to work, meditating on the Word of God, and I've been wanting the Holy Spirit, and I began to pray in tongues. It doesn't always have to happen the way that we want it to happen as good Pentecostal, Spirit-filled believers. It can happen in the service, and I pray that it does. I love when it does, because we all get to see it, and it's wonderful, and we all get excited. But also, sometimes the Lord works outside of this church building. Isn't that great? Isn't it awesome that the Lord isn't dependent on these cinder blocks, on having to move in here? Isn't it great that we can go home, that we can spend time in the presence of the Lord right there, in the shower, in the living room, wherever you are, working on the job? Isn't that great? And so that's how I believe is that the Lord can minister to you exactly what you need this morning. If you need hands laid on you, I believe that the Lord is capable of leading me to lay hands on you this morning. Or if you need a word, that He can lead to give you the word. Or whatever it is. And maybe you're here and you're feeling great and everything's good. Well, then just receive the Word of God, lay hold of it by faith, and claim it as your own. And so let's believe God to move. You know, the thing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit is without that, the church is dead. And there's enough dead churches out there where even they might share the word, but if they never allow people to experience the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, it's not enough. That's why we got to give the whole counsel of God. The church, the New Testament church, was started on the day of Pentecost, really. They weren't allowed to go out and do what they were supposed to do until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Go and tarry or wait in Jerusalem. not many days from now, you will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were told to go wait. They'd already received the Great Commission. Jesus told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And yet, then they were told to wait. Why? Because they needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If it was so important for them, then it must be important for you and me. Amen? So without the Holy Spirit, without His presence in our lives, you know, this book, there's so much that you can learn just from the knowledge of it, just from reading it. But when you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's what makes it come alive. It's what illuminates it to our heart. It's then, that's how God can supernaturally lead us. It's great. If we didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and we just applied the words of this book to our life, we would be far better off than anyone else. But when you add the baptism of the Holy Spirit and His presence and His power comes alive in your heart and you have that connection with God, man, it takes it to another level. It goes from just being a story or a message to being a word for me, a word from my God, a revelation from my God directly to me. Amen? All right, so I want to go back to what I was saying about how sometimes we lock in on a certain way of doing things, but it's not necessarily meant to be that way, and we even see that in the New Testament. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Did you know that? Did you know that you are the body of Christ? So on a completely different note, when you're talking negatively about your fellow believers in the Lord, you're talking negatively about the body of Christ. When you're wishing ill or you're having problems or you're, you know, whatever with different members of the body, we have to remember that they're still part of the body of Christ. Verse 28, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. That's a whole bunch of different stuff, right? So how could we assume that all of these different groups and different ministers and different ministries are going to all do things the same way? Now bump back up to verse 4, same chapter. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. So what does that mean? Not everyone is anointed or gifted to do the same things, or even if they're gifted to do the same thing as the other person, maybe they're gifted in a different way. And there's different administrations, there's different operations, there's different ways of doing things. And so you don't really know how it is that you're gifted until you get out there and you start doing it. Until you go out there and ask the Lord, lead me. How do you want me to minister today? What do you want me to share on? And so sometimes, you know, especially as a new minister, even myself, though we've been here for coming up on 5 years, I still feel like I'm brand new in the ministry. And so that means for me, I'm still depending on the Lord. Lord, how do you want me to do things? I've seen many different ways of doing things, but ultimately I want to do things the way that God has specifically called me to do things. So, but that doesn't mean that somebody else is wrong. And I think that sometimes we get in that thought process of like, well, you know, this church did it that way and he's doing it this way and people are doing things differently. And therefore, who's right and who's wrong? What if they're all right? The only time you're wrong is when you're not listening and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know, if we have a 10-hour service here today, if the Lord leads us to do that, then we're right. But what if the Lord leads us to have a 1-hour service? I don't really care how long the service is, as long as we did what the Lord wanted us to do. Right? And so that's the way that we need to think about these things. When it comes to laying on of hands, if the Lord leads us to do it, then let's do it. If the Lord touches you so hard and you fall down, then fall down. Who cares? Hope someone there is to catch you, right? Or that it really was the Lord and then you don't need a catcher, right? I mean, if the Lord knocked you down, he's not going to like try and bang your head on the ground or something, right? Or if you need to cry or you need to laugh or you need to run around the room or whatever it is. But I think when we assume that that is the way of doing things, the only way of doing things, then that's when we can sometimes make mistakes. Is because the Lord might be leading different people to do different things. He might be touching this person one way on this side of the room, someone over here completely different. You know, maybe one person in the room is struggling with a marriage problem. Someone over here has been praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Someone over here is looking for a financial breakthrough. The Lord knows what everyone needs. And so that's why we come to service, we come to church with just an attitude of expectancy and faith and believing that God is going to give me exactly what I need. But we see here that there are many different ways of doing things. There's a variety of callings, there's a variety of giftings, and a variety of the way that God does things. You know what? There's another passage of Scripture that's almost identical, but let's read it anyway. It's not quite identical, but it's very similar. Romans chapter 12. You know, when the Bible repeats itself, that's news to me that that must be important. Let's start in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. You see, we don't all have the same function. We don't all do things the same way then. Verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Now, like I said, I still feel like I'm brand new in the ministry, and I don't know that everything that God has put on the inside of me. I'm still seeking God, trying to figure everything out in my life. I know there's some things that he's called me to do, like starting this church. I also know that God has called me to teach. I don't know why, but I know that God has put in me a gift of teaching. And so when it comes down to it, if I don't know what else to do, I'm just going to teach because I know what I'm called. I know I'm called to do that. It doesn't mean that I'm going to try and do every other single thing that I've ever seen every other minister do. I have so much admiration for the men of God that have gone before me. Ones that have passed on. Kenneth Hagin, you know? Smith Wigglesworth. Charles Finney. And there's many great ministers alive today. And I love all of them. I think they're great. You look at what they did and what they accomplished and what they're still accomplishing, those that are still alive. It's awesome. But that does not mean that that's what I'm supposed to do. Or just because one person did things this way, that doesn't mean that that's what I'm supposed to do. And so I'm still just trying to be sensitive to the Lord. What do you want me to do? And I'm saying all this because sometimes, you know, you might wonder, well, we're a river church, we're a spirit-filled church, but, you know, it doesn't seem like we're always doing everything the way everyone else does it. And that's intentional. Because I'm not trying to do what everyone else is doing. I'm trying to do what the Lord has called me to do. Amen? And that's exactly the way that each and every single one of us are supposed to be, is we're members of Christ's body individually, and we each have our own function, and we each need to figure out what we're supposed to do and then do that. It doesn't mean one's better or one's worse, you know, and that's why it started off here saying that we're to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Maybe someone here is called to, you know, help the church by cleaning or by administrative work or by XYZ ministries of helps. It doesn't mean that that's a lesser thing to do. You're just doing what God has called you to do. Find the function that God is for you and then be true to that. Amen? And so we're going to dig further into this. But concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, sometimes in the book of Acts, people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands, where the apostles laid hands on different ones. Other times, nobody laid hands on anyone, like on the day of Pentecost. But what were they doing? They were there, gathered together with one accord, seeking after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were there, all with one purpose, in one mindset, praying and waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then there was another time where Peter was sharing from the Word. He was just simply preaching. And if you read his sermon, he wasn't even preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what happened? While he was preaching to the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit fell. That big dove just crashed through the roof and nailed them all. No, but you see, sometimes the Lord does things one way, and other times he does things a different way. What's important? It's that we come with an attitude of faith and expectancy to receive all that God has for us. Amen? And so this month, I want you to come with an attitude of expectancy that God is going to touch you and fill you with His Holy Spirit. And if you've never spoken in tongues, that you would speak in tongues. Now, why is speaking in tongues so important? Because we see in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, that every time that someone was filled with the Holy Spirit, that it says that they spoke with new tongues. And so it's an evidence. It's not the only evidence, but it is one of the evidence. It's not the only reason, and we're going to see. There's different reasons that the Holy Spirit comes and fills us. And there's different functions that He has when He fills us. So it's not just to come so that you can speak in gibberish in a language that you don't understand and so that you can fall down. That's not why the baptism of the Holy Spirit came. He came for a reason, and He comes and He fills you and baptizes you for a reason. Those other things, speaking in tongues, we're going to talk about that this month, and it's very important. But there's other things, there's other manifestations and different experiences that people have when people get filled with the Holy Spirit. Those aren't the important things. Right? There's the cause and there's the effect. The cause is the Holy Spirit filled you. The effect is maybe you fell down. What is more important? The cause, right? The fact that you got filled with the Holy Spirit. You've been empowered to be a witness. Now you can be led and guided into all truth. All these things that the Holy Spirit comes to do. But what do we like to focus on? Not we here, but collectively as the body of Christ, we like to focus on the effect because we can see that. But what you can see, the effect of these things isn't the important thing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We like it when somebody really gets nailed, when they get slammed, when they get drunk, when they get all these different things in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, they knock three rows of chairs over and they're crying and they're get up and run around the room. We like that. That's exciting. We can tell they got it. But what about the person that comes? Maybe hands are laid upon them. Maybe they're not. Maybe they just sat in the service and they heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They went home that night. They prayed and they said, "Thank you, Jesus. I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. I believe it by faith." And they begin to pray in tongues and nothing really crazy happens. You know, it's similar when people get born again, right? For some people, they have this wild, extravagant, born-again experience where they go from being the worst sinning person on the block, the person that nobody wants to be around, the person that Christians don't let their kids talk to, that guy, you know? We got to protect ourselves from them, you know? And then they get born again and all of a sudden and they can talk about their born again experience, how they went like from total straight heathen, from, you know, jumping people and messing people up and doing all this horrible stuff, doing drugs and alcohol, and then I got born again and my life got radically changed. And then there's people that are like me, and they just grew up in church, and they prayed a prayer, and they believed it. And nothing really that crazy happened. So, who's more saved? Right? Who's more saved? The crazy guy that used to go out and mess people up and be a complete jerk, and now everyone can tell that he's born again? Or the person that grew up in church, they just simply heard the message and they believed it, they prayed the prayer of faith, and they believe and they confess that they're saved. They're both equally saved. But what's more exciting? Right? You know, so one person isn't more saved or enough than the other. One person doesn't have a bigger connection with God. They just had a different experience. So the problem becomes that we as people like the experience, and so we chase the experience rather than we chase the person or the cause. Rather than chasing the person of the Holy Spirit and rather than chasing after Jesus, we're chasing after these experiences. But the experiences aren't what matter. It's the cause that gave you the experience. And to think that the Lord is only ever going to touch you in one way, and that the Lord is only ever going to touch you in a church service, and the Lord is only ever going to touch you when hands are laid upon you, and the Lord is only ever going to make you cry or fall down or laugh or run or jump. You know, you don't have to do any of that to get saved, and you don't have to do any of that to get filled with the Holy Spirit. But sometimes it does. It's wonderful, the person that has that crazy testimony. Like my wife, she has a wonderful testimony, and it's so exciting. And mine is the more, to me, boring one. I tell people I grew up with a Christian family, and I went to church, and as far as long as I can remember, I believed in Jesus. You know, I don't have this great story, though that is still awesome. But one is not better than the other. And so when we come to God to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's not that we need to come seeking this experience. We need to come seeking the one, the Holy Spirit. We need to come seeking the one, Jesus Christ, seeking the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. Now, there are experiences. We should have evidence, as seen in the New Testament. Speaking in tongues is one of the evidences of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, let me tell you how I began to speak in tongues. Very powerful. Very powerful. Now, first, let me tell you how I didn't speak in tongues. Because I first had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Really, it was in a time when I was reconsecrating my life to Jesus when I was 13 years old. And you've heard the story before where I wasn't fully living for the Lord. And I came down to the front of the church and I repented for my lifestyle. And when I did that, the presence of God came on me so strong. I cried. I mean, I was just about to turn 14. And I probably cried for an hour. I don't know. Probably at least an hour at the front of the church. I felt brand new. Everything was brand new. I felt clean on the inside. I knew that God was real, whereas before, you know, I'd always heard about God, but now I knew that He was real. But I didn't speak in tongues. But I knew that I had this encounter with Jesus, and just so you know, Jesus isn't walking the planet anymore, but the Holy Spirit is here. So, essentially, I had this encounter with the Holy Spirit. And I got so hungry for God after that, because that experience was so much better than anything else that I'd ever had before, and I just wanted more and more of that. And so anytime there was an opportunity, you know, to go to a church service or a place where there was, the Holy Spirit was allowed to touch people, I was there. And I would have these amazing experiences with the Holy Spirit, but I didn't speak in tongues. And then, you know, why didn't I speak in tongues? Because no one ever taught on it. It was just this mysterious thing that some people could get it and some people didn't. You know, some people just in the middle of the service stand up and shout in tongues, and it was really awesome and mysterious and wonderful, and you're like, what is that? What just happened? I don't know. The Lord was speaking. But, I mean, no one ever said how to get it. And so I was 18. Actually, before I was 18, I was living in Germany. Don't take this the wrong way, Mom. But Germans are weird in church. They're either extremely weird, and any of my German family, if you are by chance listening to this message, I'm not talking about you. But in general, Germans are really weird in church, in charismatic church, or they're extremely formal, dry, and religious. And I saw both spectrums when I lived there. I was there for a year when I was 16, and I go to one church, men on one side of the church, women on the other. They had to wear, you know, long dresses. It was very formal. And then there was the which, in fairness, they were Russian Germans. So they're not. They were like half German, half Russian, which is even worse. But, you know, and then I would go to these other churches, and man, they were fighting the devil so hard in their services. They would start the worship, but then before worship was over, like, everybody had these drums, and I didn't know, but apparently you can fight the devil with drums. You just take these drums and you start pounding them. They call it like spiritual warfare, fighting off demons with drums. Apparently it's a thing. I haven't found the scripture for it yet, but apparently it's a thing. And so then, you know, then we get the shofar in, which sounds like a cow dying in the back of the room. And so, you know, we're doing all this spiritual mumbo jumbo, all this nonsense. And then, you know, when they want to pray for you to get filled with the Spirit, you're just like, I'm not sure if I really want any of that. You know, if that's what the Holy Spirit's all about, I'm not so sure. But so then I went and you know, most of the churches, of course, were in German, and my German was a little rusty. Well, so I went and I found this church where the guy was from England. He was an English preacher living in Germany in a town nearby. And I went there, not really because it was a great church, but because it was in English. You know, it made me feel like a little closer to home. His accent was all wrong. Anyway, you know, so He's there, and I went there for a while, and then he was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and asked anyone that wanted to have the ability to speak in tongues, wanted the baptism with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and I really wanted it. But there was no teaching on it again. He called us up there, and man, he just laid hands on me over and over and over and over again and told me, you just got to speak it out, you just got to speak it out, you just got to speak it out. And, well, I mean, sometimes that might work for someone. But for me, it didn't. I'm just there like, this dude just keeps laying his hand on me and telling me to speak it out. Speak what out? There was no explanation. There was no talk about the scripture about it and how the Holy Spirit can just bubble up inside of you, but then you have your mind that's trying to block it, and so your mind is overpowering what the Spirit's trying to do. They didn't explain that to me. So I'm just there, and finally I went and sat down and felt like I'd failed because I didn't speak in tongues. And that was when I was 16. And so then, finally when I was 18, I went to Bible school. And during Bible school, you know, all my friends, because this was a very Spirit-filled Bible school, and everyone spoke in tongues, and here I'm coming, and I didn't speak in tongues. And it was probably, I was there for a few months, coming from a Pentecostal church, believed in speaking in tongues, wanted speaking in tongues, had encounters many times with the Holy Spirit, but didn't speak in tongues. And then thankfully, the pastor's wife, Pastor Adonica, she just taught I think it was a Sunday night, and she just taught on praying in tongues. Finally, I had gotten some answers just from teaching. She didn't even do an altar call. No one prayed for me. No one laid hands on me. I went home that night, and because now I had answers from the Word of God that you just have to get it by faith, the same way that you're born again, the same way that you get healed, the same way that God works in your life, you get it through faith. I just went home and I said, Father, I thank you. I already know that I have the Holy Spirit. I have had so many encounters with the Holy Spirit. I now receive my heavenly language in Jesus' name. And I just began to speak it up. And the first thoughts in my mind were, you're absolutely nuts. This is stupid. It doesn't make any sense. But now I had teaching that said, your mind is going to tell you that, but your mind is not your spirit. So I'm just going to do this anyway. And I just began to speak. And it started out slow, but I just kept going and going and going until eventually it was just bubbling up out of the inside of me. And so sometimes, you know, for some people, you know, my wife, when she got filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm so jealous, you know, just like the way she got born again. I'm so jealous. But when she got filled with the Holy Spirit, she was at a church service, and there was an altar call for people to come forward that wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the minister prayed, just a group prayer, didn't lay hands on anyone. Before he even finished praying, she fell out, and before she hit the ground, she was praying in tongues. And she grew up not in a church environment where anyone spoke in tongues. She grew up in a Catholic church. She knew nothing about the things of God or the things of the Spirit. She'd just only recently been born again and knew that she believed in Jesus, and Jesus changed her life. And here, she, boom, just didn't even get hands laid on her. I'd had hands laid on me so many times and didn't get to pray in tongues. She doesn't even get hands laid on her. And before she even hits the deck, she's praying in tongues. So how do I know? What do people need? How do people get prayed in the Holy Spirit? Or how do people get filled with the Holy Spirit? I don't know. And thankfully, I don't have to. But I know that Jesus does know. And Jesus can get it to you however he wants it to. However he wants you to. So sometimes, for someone, it might just be a matter of going home and simply believing and taking action on the Word of God like I needed to do and being taught. And for others, it might be that you're one of those crazy people, those radical people that just have it happen and you just have this crazy encounter the first time that someone goes to pray for you. They want to lay hands on you, but they can't even reach you because you're already gone. You know, I don't know. But look, the Lord says that there's different functions, that people are different, that there's different ministries, and we're to minister in proportion to the grace that is upon our lives. So however you get it doesn't really matter. What matters is that you get it. You have to get it. It's important that you have it, because without it, you're not quite functioning as a New Testament Christian. You need to have it. Go with me to Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, the Great Commission starts, let's start from verse 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe." Who's it going to follow? Right, the believers. Are you a believer this morning?
Yes.
All right. "In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Okay, so you have to admit that this list of these different things that believers are supposed to do, that believers will do, that it is a supernatural list, right? That these are all things that are way out of the ordinary, that you couldn't do by ordinary human power. And yet people try and boil down tongues, or some beliefs, try to boil down tongues into just being able to learn another language really quickly. That God is going to supernaturally give you the ability to learn French really quick. Wow. That's what Jesus died for, to send. He said it's to our advantage that he goes away so that he can help us learn how to speak Italian real fast. Isn't it ridiculous? But you know, people try and reason the power out of the scripture. You know, we have, you know, casting devils out of people, laying hands on the sick and they'll recover, and all these supernatural things. And then people try and say, well, tongues doesn't mean like, you know, tongues, it just means like other languages. And I don't understand how people can think like that. All right, I shared this in the Bible school this past Sunday, and it kind of just clicked with me. You know, if you're a believer in Jesus, you're already crazy. Because if you think about it, like if you boil it down like logically, but if you take the logical explanation of what you believe that there was a man that was born from a virgin. Right? This lady was supernaturally impregnated by the Spirit of God. And then he grew up and he did all these miracles. And you believe it. You believe that he did that. And then you believe that one day he died on the cross. And then you believe that because he died on the cross for you, and you believe that he was risen from the dead, you believe that you're going to spend an eternity in heaven. Though we can't see it. Though no, none of us have ever been there. We believe that we're going to die and we're going to spend an eternity, an unlimited amount of time with God. That makes you crazy. You're totally nuts. Right? If you're trying to be logical. And so why do we have these logical Christians out there that are like, well, This couldn't mean that we're actually speaking in new tongues, and it couldn't mean that we're literally believing in miracles and laying hands on the sick and they'll recover. It couldn't mean that we're literally casting demons out of people. Why not? We're already totally nuts for the fact that we believe in Jesus. We don't go to God with logic. We don't go to God with reason. We go to God with faith. It supersedes logic and reason. And so if we can believe God that we're saved and born again and that we have Jesus in our hearts and that one day we're going to die and we're going to go to heaven, and any Christian out there that actually believes in Jesus, you couldn't argue them out of it. They know that they're born again. And yet, they allow themselves to be argued out of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's not for everyone. Or, well, maybe that's just learning another language. Or, well, this thing or that thing about the speaking in new tongues. Why is it that we, as people, that we can believe that we're going to heaven, but we can't believe that these things, these impossible things, are for us? We already believe in something totally impossible. That's the nature of being a Christian. You believe in something that is not possible, that you're going to die and spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. So why not just go all in and be totally crazy and be filled with the Holy Spirit and lay hands on the sick and cast devils out of people? Why just be half crazy? Go all in. Full on crazy. Speaking in new tongues. That doesn't make any sense, because none of Christianity really makes any sense. I mean, I have a hard time understanding the New Testament sometimes, but when you go back into the Old Testament, then you really realize how crazy this stuff is. Wait a second, so you're telling me if I go out there and kill a cow that somehow my sins are covered? You know what I mean? Like, we believe this stuff, and yet then we have a hard time believing in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, could it really be that simple that we just, you know, that the Holy Spirit fills us and then we can speak in this supernatural language? Yes, it is that simple. If you're a believer, if you believe in Jesus, you might as well just believe it all. Right? It says that believers will speak in new tongues. It's a supernatural ability. Nothing about it is natural. Nothing about being a Christian is natural. Nothing about being born again is natural. So why should speaking in new tongues be natural? Why should speaking in tongues be learning French quicker? It doesn't make any sense. Well, so maybe I've convinced someone here to believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, then how do you get it? Let me tell you how you don't get it. It's not by much activity. And I think that sometimes that's where people get confused. If we can shout hard enough, dance crazy enough, run fast enough, yell loud enough, clap hard enough, if we can do all of these things, then maybe we'll get ourselves worked up into a big spiritual frenzy, and then the Holy Spirit will fill us all. If I can lay hands on you enough times, then maybe you'll get it. Look, getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't ever meant to be difficult. Go with me to Luke chapter 11. Look at verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he be given a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he be given a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You see, it's not meant to be difficult. It's not meant to be this, well, I've been seeking the Holy Spirit since 1919. I've been seeking the Holy Spirit for 55 years, and bless God, one day I believe I'll have him. Or it. Or I'll speak in tongues. You see, he is the Holy Spirit. It's not a language. And the way that we receive him is the same way that we receive salvation, through faith. Through the prayer of faith. I believe that the Lord Jesus died on the cross and that he was raised from the dead. I believe that the Holy Spirit has been sent from God to earth. And Father God says, Jesus said in his word right here, if I ask the Holy Spirit, how much more will Father God give him to me? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's not hard to get. Have you ever known someone, though, where it's really hard for them to receive gifts? Or maybe it's really hard for them to receive help? You're like, hey, let me give you a hand with that. No, I got it. They're trying to lift like 10,000 pounds and they're just like getting crushed by a giant boulder. And you go to ask them, hey, can I help you? No, I got this. You know that there's no chance that they're ever going to do any of what they're setting out to do. But they're just, no, I don't need it. You know, I'll get it. I'll get it eventually. I'll figure this out. There's some people that you want to help them. You can see you need help bad. You really need help. No, I got this. I'll take care of it on my own. And then there's other people. Hey, I got this gift for you. Oh, no, I'm not worthy. I can't receive that gift. That's too much for me. That's excessive. You know, and this is the way people do God. God sent us the paraclete, the helper, the advocate, the one called alongside to help, the standby. That's the Holy Spirit. He sent him to us. And yet we have so many Christians out here that are like, no, you know, it's got to be more complicated than that. It's harder to receive than that. You can't just pray and believe that you've received it and then receive your heavenly language. It's way more complicated. It's way more spiritual than all that. What about on the day of Pentecost? How complicated was it? They were there. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit came in. Boom, they all got it. Got him. And they all spoke in other tongues. What about when Peter was preaching? He's preaching salvation, and all of a sudden, boom, Holy Spirit comes in, people are filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke in new tongues. This happened throughout the New Testament up until our generation, where all of a sudden it becomes this effort that we have to do to get the Holy Spirit to fill us so that we can speak in new tongues. It shouldn't be complicated. What makes it complicated is our mind. This is the plug that stops the Spirit from coming out. Our head, our thought life. And that doesn't get changed unless you have proper teaching on it. Unless you have good teaching on it, like I got when I was 18 years old. You know, because I'd always been taught that this was just like, well, you just got to keep seeking it. Well, what does that even mean? How do you just keep seeking it? What if there's just something in my mind that is stopping me? Because my mind was telling me that God had to take control of my tongue, wiggle it, get the vocal cords moving on their own, and then God will make me speak in tongues. That's the way that I thought it was going to happen, is that God somehow takes hold of my mouth and uses it to speak in tongues. And that's where I was wrong. All those years that I had the Holy Spirit but didn't speak in tongues was because I wanted God to force me to speak in tongues. But God didn't force me to get saved. He didn't force me to get healed. He didn't force me to get anything. So why should I believe that he's going to force me to speak in tongues? He won't. He never will. We receive it by faith. And faith works by action taken upon the Word of God. And so maybe you're here today and you've never prayed in tongues. Maybe when you go home from this place, you can just say, Father God, I thank you. You said in your word that if I ask for the Holy Spirit, you said, how much more do you want to give me the Holy Spirit? It's easy. God, you want me to have it. I want to have it. I receive it now in Jesus' name. Believe that you received it and then begin to pray in your heavenly language. I know it sounds crazy, but like I said, Christianity's already crazy. You were totally crazy the moment that you prayed, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and that you were raised from the dead and that one day I'll be with you in eternity. You became totally nuts. So why is it so crazy to believe that we could just receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by praying in faith and receiving it by faith? Our mind wants to stop us. And man, if Satan doesn't like an unbeliever, he hates a Spirit-filled believer. Why? Because now you have this direct prayer language with heaven. You become so much more powerful for the kingdom of God and dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. And so he's going to combat you in your thought mind even after you get the Holy Spirit, after he fills you, and after you speak in tongues, you know what your mind is going to tell you? That was just you. You made that up. You know what? When I pray in tongues today, my mind still tells me the same thing. That's not doing nothing for you. I've been praying in tongues now for almost 13 years, and every time I go and spend time praying in tongues, my mind, without fail, will let me know you're crazy. None of this is real. It's just, you know, spiritual mumbo jumbo. It's not actually doing anything. How is it that you think you can just say a bunch of words that you don't know and think that somehow you're supernaturally connected to God? Satan doesn't want us to do it. You know how you know that something's good from God? Is Satan tries to fight you on it. And if you are here Wednesday night, we talked about the way that he fights us. He doesn't come out with this big pitchfork and tries, you know, poking at you. Big, scary red horns, you know, he's not coming at you. He comes at you in the realm of the mind, in the soul realm, through our flesh, through our senses, through our reason. And that's why Paul wrote that we take every thought, every argument against the word of God, we take it captive and bring it into subjection against the knowledge of Christ. And so when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, there's going to be thoughts that come. He's going to try and tell you. Just like last month, if you were believing God for a healing and you prayed and you received your healing, don't you know the next day, maybe right after you leave the service, the thoughts are going to come, you didn't get it. And the same thoughts are going to come when you believe God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You didn't get it, or you're nuts, or this is just a bunch of faith garbage and it's not real and it can't be that easy and it's not that simple and you got to work hard for it and you're not worthy of it and you don't deserve it. And all these negative thoughts come into our mind. You take those thoughts captive, bring them into subjection to the word of God that says you are worthy, that says that you've been washed clean by the blood of Jesus, and not through your own actions or your own deeds are you worthy, but through the blood of Jesus Christ that washes you clean, you're worthy. And God wants you to have it. When someone has a gift with your name on it, they bought it for you. They want you to have it. How do you feel when you buy someone a gift? Arnav, I bought this. I wrote your name on it. It's especially signed for you, and you say, I don't want it. How does that make me feel? Horrible. Like, what's wrong with you, dude? I bought this for you. Take it. That's the way God is with us, because he gave us his Holy Spirit to help us, to fill us, to equip us, to do what God's called us to do. And we're down here thinking, no, more complicated than that, God. Can't be that simple. No, you don't know me, God. I know I believe in you, but I've still sinned, and so it can't be that simple. Did you ever think that the reason that maybe sin is so easily laying a hold of your life is because you're not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? And not that that's a cure-all, that once you get filled with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden now you can't sin. No, this is a life that we live where we fight the good fight of faith. Amen? And so be encouraged today. God wants you to have this gift. It's a gift. He wants you to have it. You know, we probably don't have time, but we're going to take time anyway. You see where I have it. Yeah, John 16, verse 5. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Well, Jesus, that doesn't really make any sense, because if I had the choice between having Jesus right here in my boat or just having, you know, the Holy Spirit that I can't really see, I would rather have Jesus right there physically with me. You know, I can just sit here and have a conversation with Jesus. You know, that's the way logic works. That's the way my mind works. Like, I don't know. I'd be okay just to hang out with you, Jesus, until I die. Wouldn't you? I mean, if Jesus was here on the planet right now, wouldn't that just be awesome? Think about it. I mean, if you got to spend all day, every day, walking around seeing Jesus doing miracles, what could be better than that? But he said it's to our advantage that he goes away. And God doesn't lie. So when he said that, he wasn't just trying to be nice, like, oh yeah, you'll be okay when I'm gone. These guys are goners. There's no way they're going to make it without me. That's not what he was thinking. No, he meant it. He meant, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Guess what? He sent him to us on the day of Pentecost a couple thousand years ago, and we still have him today. Hallelujah. It's to our advantage. Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to struggle for it. You don't have to pray hard enough for it. You don't have to become worthy enough for it, for him. He sent him to us. You just have to believe him that his word is true and take action by faith. If you've never prayed in the Holy Spirit in new tongues, you can leave from this place today. Lay hold of God by faith, of the word by faith. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We only have a couple minutes left, but before we go, I want to pray a group prayer for each and every single person here that maybe you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to pray for you. So let's just believe God right now for his infilling. Father God, I thank you. You said in your word that if we ask you, how much more willing you want to give us the Holy Spirit, Father God. And I thank you that the revelation of your word hits home in our hearts today. Father, I thank you that we believe you today for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For anyone that's here that has never spoken in tongues, has never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, Father God, I thank you that this word resonates in their hearts, that it just burns up on the inside of them until they become so full, bubble up from their belly. From their belly will flow rivers of living water. I thank you that the Holy Spirit just comes up from their inner man and they begin to speak in tongues by faith in Jesus' name so that they can have this divine connection, this divine prayer language to you. Father God, I thank you that you fill them, each and every single one of them, by your precious Holy Spirit. Fill them now with your power. The power that you sent us to cause us to be witnesses. The power of your Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us into all truth. The power that brings to remembrance every word that you've spoken to us. In Jesus' mighty name, I thank you for it. We receive it by faith. And if you believe it, say amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.